Thursday, February 12th. The first reading from 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 4 through 13. When Solomon was old, his wives had turned his heart to strange gods, and his heart was not entirely with the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. By adoring Astarte, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the idol of the Ammonites, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not follow him unreservedly, as his father David had done. Solomon then built a high place to Chemosh, the idol of Moab, and to Molech, the idol of the Ammonites, on the hill opposite Jerusalem. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. The Lord therefore became angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. For though the Lord had forbidden him this very act of following strange gods, Solomon had not obeyed him. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is what you want, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I enjoined on you, I will deprive you of the kingdom and give it to your servant. I will not do this during your lifetime, however, for the sake of your father David. It is your son whom I will deprive, nor will I take away the whole kingdom. I will leave your son one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and of Jerusalem which I have chosen." Haydock Commentary. Solomon spent the first 30 years of his reign in virtue, but towards the termination of it he gave into idolatry and into such excesses that he deserves to be ranked with Henry VIII, who began well but ended with dishonor. He sacrificed to idols not only externally, but gave them internal worship, so much was his understanding darkened, unless he acted against his better knowledge. The wisdom which had been given to him entirely abandoned his heart, which the discipline even of the smallest tribulation had not guarded. So says St. Gregory. He had commenced his reign with an ardent desire of wisdom, and when he had obtained it by spiritual love, he lost it by carnal affections. Prosperity, which is a severe trial for the wise, was more disadvantageous to him than wisdom herself had been profitable. So says St. Augustine. The fathers do not attempt to soften the guilt of Solomon, and those aggravate his crime who endeavor to excuse him by saying that his mind was still convinced that there could be but one God, and that his adoration of idols was merely external and out of complacence to his wives. His worship was most shameful and therefore performed in the night. The temples erected by Solomon were not entirely demolished until the reign of Josiah. God had appeared to Solomon at Gibeon, and after the consecration of the temple, besides sending a prophet to him while he was building. He was not content with giving him the general commandments, he had condescended to caution him in a most particular and earnest manner, so that his transgression is more horrible and ungrateful. No doubt the priests and prophets had often besought him to alter his conduct, but the sinner is deaf till God speaks to his heart. God says to him, "Since this is thy conduct and fixed determination to abandon my service, I will also reject thee." It does not happen in his lifetime for the sake of his father David, because as David placed this son upon the throne, the disgrace would have seemed to revert on David. Here we behold the reward of piety, and how desirable a thing it is to have saints for our parents. The Gospel from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied and said to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Haydock Commentary. If Christ had really desired to conceal himself, but could not, his will, it seems, was thwarted. But this is impossible. His will must always take place. On this occasion, therefore, he wished himself to be sought for by these Gentiles, but not to be made known by his own apostles. Wherefore it came to pass that not the persons who were his followers, but the Gentiles who entered the house in which he was, published his fame abroad. So says St. Augustine. Jesus Christ commanded his disciples not to publish that he was come into that country, not that he intended to cease from healing the infirm and curing diseases when he saw the faith of the inhabitants deserved it, for he informed the Gentile woman of his coming and made it known to as many others as he thought worthy, but that he might teach us by his example to decline the applause of men. So says Venerable Bede. This part in which St. Mark says that Christ was in the house when the woman came to petition on behalf of her daughter seems to differ from the narration of St. Matthew, who says that the disciples besought Christ to dismiss her because she cried after them, by which he signified that she followed them as they were on the road. These apparent differences may thus easily be reconciled. The woman came to our Lord when he was in the house, and he, according to St. Matthew, not answering her a word, went out during the silence. The woman followed after, and by her perseverance obtained her request. So says St. Augustine.